From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of his final message in his series of studies in Hebrews chapter 11. The text is found in verses 4 through 13 of chapter 12, where the apostle reminds his readers that they have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The emphasis is upon believers not giving up in the face of persecution and difficult circumstances. The Bible makes it clear that Christians face many obstacles as they seek to live for the Lord. There are things to be resisted, such as the world, the flesh, and the devil. This constant demand for resistance causes the believer pain. Yet believers have consolation in their pain, because we have a word from God. In speaking of the character of our pain, Dr. Cairns has reminded us that behind all of it is the hand of a sovereign God, who often uses affliction to chasten His children and to bring them more and more into conformity to Christ. The text also leads to the conquest of our pain, which is found in exercising ourselves according to the Word of God. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of Running Through the Pain. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's meditation comes from Psalm 84 and verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca makes it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. This teaches us that the comfort obtained by one may often prove serviceable to another, just as wells would be used by the company who came after. We read some book full of consolation, which is like Jonathan's rod dropping with honey. We think our brother has been here before us and digged this well for us as well as for himself. Many a night of weeping, midnight harmonies, eternal day, a crook in the lot, comfort for mourners, has been a well digged by a pilgrim for himself, but has proved quite as useful to others. Specially we notice this in the Psalms, such as that beginning, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Travelers have been delighted to see the footprint of man on a barren shore, and we love to see the waymarks of pilgrims while passing through this vale of tears. The pilgrims dig the well, but strange enough, it fills from the top instead of the bottom. We use the means, but the blessing does not spring from the means. We dig a well, but heaven fills it with rain. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The means are connected with the end, but they do not of themselves produce it. See here, the rain fills the pools, so that the wells become useful as reservoirs for the water. Labor is not lost, but yet it does not supersede divine help. Grace may well be compared to rain, for its purity, for its refreshing and vivifying influence, for its coming alone from above, and for the sovereignty with which it is given or withheld. May our listeners have showers of blessing, and may the wells they have digged be filled with water. Oh, what are means and ordinances without the smile of heaven? They are as clouds without rain and pools without water. Oh, God of love, open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing.
Thank you.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
pain does not sanctify of itself. What purifies and sanctifies is the faith that sees in our pain the hand of our Father in heaven molding us in the image of His dear Son. And when through the suffering and the anguish and the conflict you can see the hand of God, the Father's hand, educating, molding, guiding, guarding, directing, making you into the finished product, when you can see by faith, Lord, this is for Your glory, and this is ultimately for my good, and even though it's hurtful to me now, it is to make me the man God wants me to be. That will have a sanctifying effect. We live and are sanctified by faith, not just by pain. And then in verse 11, he shows that the results the Lord is working to produce in us make the temporary pain bearable and even welcome. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Now, let's get this. There are some people who want to be more spiritual than the Bible. I have heard mystical people who almost court pain and affliction. And they talk about embracing the cross. Well, yes, I'm all for embracing the cross. But I find here that Paul is not one of these super spiritual mystics who finds some sort of a perverse joy in pain. He says, "Now no chastening, for the present seems joyous. It's grievous. It brings grief. It hurts. It's not welcome." That's what Paul's saying. Nevertheless, afterward, and it will not last forever. Sometimes when you get down into a valley, you think you'll never get out of it. Sometimes a dark cloud comes over, you think the sun's obscured forever. But the Sun of Righteousness is still shining. The cloud will be riven, will be brought from the depths to the heights. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. This is the result that the Lord is working to produce within us, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And even though the affliction in itself may be hard to bear and it's grievous and not welcome, when you keep that in mind, the Lord is going to bring me out of this. And the Lord, when He brings me out of it, is going to give me the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And He's going to strengthen me thereby to serve Him all the better. When you realize that, you'll be able to endure with happiness the pain and the affliction. The final thing in verses 12 and 13 is the application of it all, the conquest of our pain, how to conquer it. He says, "Wherefore." This connecting word is a very strong word, based on all that I've said. Put it now to good use. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. This is running through the pain. Now at the moment, some of us are like these Hebrew Christians. We're weary. We're weak. Notice the word that he uses in verse 13. We're lame. Some of us are not really running. We're stumbling along the race of life. We're halting. We're maybe stopping as often as we're moving. We're lame. It's a very laborious and painful progress that we're making. Sometimes we wonder if we're making progress at all. We're lame. But listen, Paul has a word for us here. This is faith in operation. This is running through that pain. He says, first of all, in the light of all we have seen, strengthen yourselves for your duty. Notice the words taken from Isaiah 35 and verse 3. Lift up the hands that hang down. Lift them up. They mean, have the idea of bind them up. If joints are sore, then bandage them up, but whatever needs to be done, get strengthened for your duty. Don't let anything get you to give up doing what you ought to be doing for God. When you don't feel like praying, he's saying, strengthen those drooping hands. Strengthen those weak knees. Because when you don't feel like praying, there's not a moment in the day that you need to pray more. When you can't get anything out of the Bible, there's not a time when you need to be going more to spend time in the Bible. Strengthen those hands. Strengthen those knees. Look at what we have seen. God's hand is upon you, a Father's hand. He's educating you. He's cutting away the flesh. He is forming you after the image of Christ. He's allowing you to resist and to strive and to feel the hurt of doing that. But claim His fatherly protection and His fatherly grace. Get down on your knees before God and get strength to do what you ought to do for God. Second thing, remove any causes of stumbling. Charlie provided me with the ideal illustration this morning and what he said when I gave him the wrong psalm, the wrong words for the tune. That's just one bump in the road. That's exactly what Paul's talking about here. I don't think that he's saying make straight paths in the sense of a Roman road, that there are no curves in it. Actually, that would be a very difficult thing to do. I think the straight here is the idea of level. Just as you would have found great difficulty in singing version 2 of the 100th Psalm to the tune number 15, and so you would find great difficulty in walking with God, walking the Christian life, with so many bumps, so many obstacles that we allow in our path and in our lives. Paul is saying, remove any causes of stumbling. In other words, don't tolerate the things that you know are going to hurt. Don't tolerate the things you know are going to trip you up. Don't give place to the devil. Make not provision for the flesh. Make even paths. Strengthen yourself for your duty. Remove the causes of stumbling. And recover the fitness that you've lost by faith in Christ. Notice what he says. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. There's healing for our lameness. Now, how is it to be healed? I think verse 11 gives us an insight into this. He says that the Lord's chastening yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. Chastening has its results in those who are exercised thereby. The word exercised is a reference to gymnastic exercise. It is an emphasis on training. When we accept the pain, as an athlete accepts the pain, say, of the weight room or of the practice track, to train us up, to exercise us in spiritual strength, then the lameness will go and we'll get healed. Now, what is this exercise? Turn back to chapter 5 and verse 14. Here's the answer. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This exercise, if you read this verse in context, is an exercise in the Word of God. It's getting into the deep things of God. Paul is lamenting to these Hebrews, this is your trouble. He says that the time has come that you ought to know so much that you're teachers, but you have need that somebody teach you again the very basics of the gospel. Why is it that so many Christians are stumbling along? Why is it that so many Christians don't have the spiritual power to do what they ought to do, to live as they ought to live, to overcome as they ought to overcome? Because we have never grown up. We're still skidding along on the surface of the Word of God. Paul was writing to people who had been saved a few years, and he's saying, you yet don't know the Melchizedek priesthood of Christ. Man, I know preachers that don't know anything about the Melchizedek priesthood of Christ. I know preachers who have lived their lives and have never made any more than a passing reference to it in all their preaching. It's not important anymore. But Paul says it's important. He says there are the depths of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. There are the glorious heights of His majesty and His exaltation at the right hand of God. There is the conjunction of the blood shed on earth and the blood pleading in heaven. And if you don't understand it, you'll not have the power to live for God. That's what he's saying. You're lame. You're halting. But there's healing power in the word received by faith.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.